So we're going to have a session here together. I'd quite like us to have quite an extended meditation. I'm actually quite interested, if you'd like, that we can explore also the posture of reclining. So you're invited to try that if you like, but there's no enforcement from my side. If you don't want to lie down, that's absolutely fine. But I want to suggest it as one of the ways that we can really support a condition of relaxation. So this reflection will also be about not just relaxing the body, but actually relaxing the push and pull on life and how that relates to the teachings. So I like to have the meditation, the reflection, to kind of have a relationship to each other. So that's something we can do there together. But that'll be in a few moments. You don't have to crash out on the floor quite yet, but you can if you want. So you may know, if you've been in these sessions with me before, one of the things I like us to start off with is actually to reflect on our intentions. And so again, we can use the chat for this. If you just kind of imagine that every time we do anything, anytime we just continue to exist, there's some intention there. We could say intentionality. So when we come to the online Dharma hall, we might, just say, I'm going to show up and see what's here. We might also want to see that actually how we show up, has an impact, has an effect. And just to inquire here, what would you like to offer from this time? If this time could be used, to kind of build towards some dream you have, some wish you have of what you'd like to bring into the world. And, it doesn't have to be, this is something I've heard meditation can do, and therefore that's a good intention to say. You can dream bigger than that if you want to. What is it you're practicing for? What is it you really value? What is it you'd like to see more of in the world? Great. So we're off with good start there. Justice, calm amongst the storm, understanding. Really beautiful, beautiful intentions, beautiful goals, honesty and transparency. To find more now, so to find more of the now, more in the now. Compassion, balance and freedom, and kindness and harmony, tolerance and acceptance, equanimity, balance and ease, resourcing, being the peace and connection, slowing down my breathing to know what's real. Metta and compassion, healing the heart of humanity into wholeness. So you may notice that as these kind of intentions flow through, they are, sometimes ours, sometimes someone else's. But really, in that broader sense of ours, we can resonate with many of them, can hold many of them together. Connection and love, stillness in times of change. It's great. If I was writing a book, I'd probably steal many of these as titles. I'm not writing a book. You don't have to worry. But yeah, some really just beautiful, poetic, wholehearted intentions. Hope. Support on my path. So let's just let these intentions rest with us, rest inside us. We can keep them alive within us in a certain way. You could let them rest in the heart space, Let them fill the awareness of the mind. Let them be a guide for us as we practice. At any moment, maybe we can bring them more into being, more into being. So I'd like to suggest that we actually enjoy ourselves. Let's take a whole half hour, which is longer than I normally offer in these sessions, for some meditation. I think we'll do at least, say, like 20 minutes of that lying down. The last little bit, I'll invite you to sit up again, yeah, and see if we can maintain that ambience of the relaxation and the surrender. As I said before, feel free to do your practice any way you like. I'm just saying this could be one way of doing it. I don't mind how you do it. Really getting yourself comfortable. If you're lying down and you're not so familiar with this as a practice, it's really quite enjoyable to imagine the spine being really well aligned, yeah, like a really relaxed skeleton. And something that supports the lower back, particularly if you have any sensitivity in the lower back, it's worth raising the knees or propping the knees up on something. Yeah. So if you're putting cushions under anything, it might be better under your knees than under your head. Yeah. Just imagine that this body is really very, very comfortable. Yeah. Just doing what you can to allow the body to be very, very comfortable. So releasing, relaxing into the ground. Making any adjustments just to allow even more release to the back of the body. If you can, feel a sense that maybe you're connected to the ground through the back of the body. You know how a tree has roots, and they just sink down into the ground. Maybe you can also feel, sense, imagine you also have roots, yeah, kind of energetically connected to this earth, letting it ground us also in that kind of energetic, electrical kind of sense, grounding, just releasing the tensions, releasing the vibrations, releasing any agitation. Notice maybe the breath soothing, smoothing out. If there's room, you might want to see how those hands are. Do they want to just spread out? There can be real relaxation. So seeing if the posture can really support a total relaxation of the muscular sense of body. In the back of the body. Also noticing, is it possible to kind of spread out around the body? There's a real relaxation through the body, and then something spreading out. It's almost as if there's the awareness has gone through the body and the awareness is around the body. The awareness is in the roots going down into the earth. And in a certain way, awareness can spread out, like the space of the night sky, really vast. And occasionally we'll notice things within the night sky, and then we just guide the attention back to the sense of the space of the sky. might notice we have a pattern in meditation is a sense of needing to be doing something. I should be paying attention to the breath, I should be working on this, working on that. I'm just seeing, just for this short period of time, if there can just be a release of that sense. Needing to do practice in the usual way. The doing here could just be, oh, is there somewhere in the body I can relax, release into the ground? So I notice this object, and I also notice the space, the vastness of the night sky, kind of awareness around this. Letting yourself feel that quality of a spacious awareness. If you want to be with the breath, letting that be very, very gentle. Maybe only like 5% of the usual effort we might bring to mindfulness of breathing. So first, don't do anything about it, just notice where the attention is. Notice if there's any kind of shrinking around that object in attention, that phenomena that's held there. We're not going to move from that object in any particular way. Just see if we can tune into the space that's here, that's holding, that's allowing for this to be here. See if we can allow that space to spread out, expand. Actually, the object of attention now is the awareness, the knowing quality, that alive, mysterious quality that reveals, revealing. See if it's possible that actually relaxing this allows it to expand, allows the awareness to expand. It's as if we're letting it, releasing it to expand outwards. And letting go of a balloon into the sky. Gently feeling how it is. again, noticing anything in attention, noticing if there's a sense that awareness has shrunk, and if it wants to open again. We also notice, we'll start with the body, is there anywhere tight? Anywhere that could be released a little bit? Anywhere that's holding? Maybe with the out breath and any sense of opening the body. Together, out breath and opening, just softening, releasing. But we have to get rid of all of the tension, all of the tightness. So not resisting it, not holding back. As little as possible. We're surrendering into the ground, surrendering into the space. Maybe what you can notice here, that there's a real support from the bodily posture into this relaxation. But there's also a flavor to the awareness of this surrender or release or expansion. Just take a few moments, really just giving all of your attention to that, the quality of the felt sense of this experience. Feeling of this, letting the attention rest in there, get close to that experience, support it while also investigating, getting to know, becoming familiar. This would be helpful so that we can later maybe recall this feeling for a more complete relaxation in other postures or other moments. So really sensing that vastness. And in a moment I'll invite us to sit up for the last little bit less than 10 minutes. This session. And as we do this transition, really staying in touch with that quality, that felt sense, like a spider's silk connection. Don't let it break as we move. So really moving with that spirit of your intentions from earlier. Remembering what you wish to support. And we'll just try, if you wish, you can stay in any posture. Just try sitting up. Notice how the bodily posture has an impact. But also notice if we can stay in tune with that relaxation. Take a moment, just notice, what do you notice? See how spread the awareness is, how sensitive the attention is. make those subtle adjustments, any forward or backward leaning. Stay with the attention in the awareness, or in the body awareness, turning to something like the breath, or listening to sounds, what feels like it would be supportive for your intentions. Just picking one, almost doesn't matter which one, the intention matters more. We stay soft, relaxed, and we also stay steady. Letting breath or sounds or body appear in this spacious awareness. So noticing what you notice, noticing whatever is appearing now, is also appearing in this vast, vast awareness. Notice that we can be sensitive to what's arising. Also be sensitive to the large space of awareness that's arising within. So if the mind wanders away, if awareness shrinks, just come back. The first thing to do is just really relax the body. Relax any holding back from allowing awareness to expand, spread. You may notice that in relaxing, we actually are automatically present. Almost instinctively embodied. Relaxation to ground you in the present, ground you in the body, ground the body in the earth. Also allow the relaxing to open you, open the awareness. If in this relaxing there's also a kind of enlivening, like an unblocking, like opening the doors, opening the windows. If it feels appropriate, there can also be kind of a lowering of the armor, allowing life to touch us, if you wish. Letting life in, letting it through, so letting it go. So, thank you for that practice together. I hope it was useful in some ways. So I just want to name something kind of obvious enough that maybe it doesn't need to be said, but you know, some of these things are often worth saying. It's interesting to sit after lying down, I think. I think it's different sitting after lying down than it is, you know, sitting after, you know, just finishing whatever it was we were just doing before. It's also interesting sitting after standing up. So you might want to try some of these things. It's just interesting to dream up new combinations. Yeah. So the Buddha talks about doing the practice in all four postures and the transitions between them. Yeah. And we just have to kind of have a little reflection. When I do my practice, is it all in mostly in one posture, and perhaps even in one sitting posture? You know, it's like, this is my meditation posture, this is where I meditate. I think that's an interesting inquiry, and it might be interesting to explore different shapes of the body and how they support different energetic feelings, we could say, you know, like how I feel energetically. And then how that shapes how my mind unfolds in different meditations. So that's one other aspect there. So yeah, you might want to try some other combos of sitting, walking, standing, lying down. Maybe not too many, you know, so that we actually get to feel what's it like. So kind of combining like we did today. Good chunk of lying down, then I sit. Okay, there was more spaciousness in my sitting than usual. Whatever it is that we notice, you know, I'm not going to put words in your mouth. So, you know, that can be one recipe we can take away from here, or it's more like a template for a recipe. Yeah, you can put in different ingredients and come up with different types of meditations for yourself. Okay, so I'm going to share a little reflection on this, some of the ideas why I thought it was interesting to bring this up, and just some of the things I've been thinking about it. Then we'll have some time where we can open into more kind of a Q&A session. And then, all being perfect for us, then I hope at the end I'll also be able to have time for some breakout rooms for like smaller groups to get together and have a bit of time for sharing. Okay, so the first thing just to say is, you know, isn't it wonderful that Gaia House is offering this place where we can come together, just tune in, drop in, no registration, you know, you just need to find the website and then click through on the links, and that, you know, quite a wide variety of people are coming to offer us teachings, and you know, we get to, you know, get that spirit of Gaia House without being able to go to Gaia House now. And of course, you know, we really hope the Gaia House will open up soon, but it's fantastic in the meantime that we have this place to, you know, dive into teachings, practice together, have a felt sense of Sangha, and much, much more. And so, as you know, when something's freely offered, we also then have the opportunity to freely contribute back. Now, not everyone's going to be in the great financial situation for being able to do this, so there's no pressure, no expectation for it to look any particular way. But, you know, everything that comes back is a deep and meaningful support to those of us who come to offer the teachings and to Gaia House. You know, Gaia House doesn't have another way of producing an income for itself now. So if there's ways that you can stretch yourself to be able to support them, it's really deeply supported. And, you know, those of us who come and offer the teachings put a lot of time and effort, practice and thought into these sessions. And so if you're in the position to be able to support us for the effort that we make, that's also deeply appreciated. Oh, and so you can offer support to Gaia House and to the teachers back at the place where you came from to click the link to get here. There's also the possibility of supporting me via the link that I've just put in the chat, which is might be slightly easier for you. It can be three main ways I can do. There's details on that page to make a bank transfer, to do a credit or debit card payment donation, or through PayPal. So Gaia House asked that the people who offer the teachings are here able to also provide a different way to be supported, but you can also do it through Gaia House if you prefer to do it that way. Okay, so you know, deep gratitude for you coming here. That's also a great dana and support to each other, yeah, your presence here. And there's no sense that there's an expectation for something in return, for something that's freely offered, both from Gaia House and from those of us who come to share in the teachings. Okay, so I just want to share something. I hope it's relevant. I don't normally share stories, like personal stories in talks. Like I think they're great when people do it, but I guess doesn't, my brain doesn't work that way for some reason. But I remember a time when I was, you know, had that great opportunity to go on a longer retreat. And it was in a busy period of my life, and I was feeling, you know, quite pressured. And it wasn't with a structured retreat, you know, it was like kind of doing a self retreat. And I hadn't thought beforehand, like, what do I want to do? I think back then I hadn't really realized what we talk about at the beginning of here, like the intentions we bring to something are really important. So I just kind of, I'll just go and be on retreat. And then so I got there and I was like, oh, what am I doing? What am I doing here? What do I want to do with this time? What do I want to develop? I hadn't thought about it beforehand. I was just kind of used to going on retreats and knew that I wanted to, you know, not be doing anything else. That's what I wanted to be doing. And so in the spirit of inquiry, and possibly from tiredness and maybe laziness even, I actually thought, I'm not going to do anything special at all. No, I'm actually not even going to try and meditate. I'm just going to spend time in this retreat center, in silence, you know, participating in the structure of the retreat, but not doing those things that I normally think of as making up a retreat. And so I was just relaxing there in the silence, just relaxing in the silence, kind of just getting this kind of nourishment of being in that environment. And in a certain sense, it wasn't long before I started to feel I was on retreat. Right? Just from relaxing in that silence, something was starting to come through. You could say, you know, the meditation was kind of starting to happen. Yeah, whatever that means for us. Like the meditation was starting to happen without a particular, oh, it's me, and it's happening because I'm, you know, sitting for 45 minutes, 6 or 7 times a day, or whatever it is. Now, of course, in the beginning, I just found myself sleeping a lot, right? Because I was tired and sleeping a lot. And, you know, someone who kind of studies a lot around sleep and things like this has kind of mentioned that the first days of any retreat are usually spent in this kind of hypnagogic state, you know, almost asleep. You know, it's like those first days of the retreat are a bit like that, yeah. That state right before falling asleep, yeah, that hypnagogic state where you kind of know, you know, your thoughts are very dreamy, they're not attached to reality, they're not too bothered about following a logical pattern, yeah. And so, you know, many people will report at the beginning of a retreat, oh, you know, I can't concentrate, I can't, you know, get my mind straight, you know, I can't pay attention. It's like, yeah, it's, you're in a hypnagogic state, right? It's just going to pass, you're going to get through that. The thing is, pretty much all human beings are chronically tired, yeah? And are chronically bad at going to bed on time and chronically bad at falling asleep once they've gone there, you know, chronically bad at staying asleep all the way through the night, yeah? It's like, whatever happened in, you know, it's like a design fault, isn't it, with the human being, yeah? So we end up coming on retreats very tired. So of course, we need to pass through this stage. We need to get renourished. Yeah, we need to get that energy back, and hopefully, meditation supports you in relaxation with that. But on the other hand, we really need to just sleep sometimes. Yeah, we just really need to replace that sleep. So, getting to the point of the story, in the end, I got very, very relaxed, and there was this deep, nourished sense of ease. Yeah. Didn't feel like I was pressuring myself to get anything or anywhere, but what I also felt was more and more present, and just like more and more, like I'm showing up, I'm here, I'm present. In a certain sense, where was the retreat coming from? Like the retreat was really starting to happen for me. Usually there's some diligence or some dedication in a very obvious way, and we'll come back to this because obviously I'm still fabricating the retreat from my own side, yeah. But my insight was it felt like mindfulness was the natural state of a relaxed mind. And I'd always had this idea that mindfulness was something that's cultivated by drawing attention. But it seemed like actually relaxing produces mindfulness, right? So it wasn't just the sitting and walking with steady attention. It felt like every action could become mindful if I could bring that state of relaxation into it. Yeah, so it's like a steadiness that's relaxed. It's maybe a little complicated to explain, but I think we'll get to it as we come through the talk. And this insight actually shapes a lot of how I live and practice in my life now. Yeah, so my impression, and this has a little bit of kind of anthropomorphizing meditation, you know, making it appear like meditation can have its own existence. Where, anyway, we'll get beyond that, I hope. It feels like meditation motivates itself into being, in a certain sense, yeah. And if anything, this is kind of a case study of just not getting in the way. It's one way of viewing this, yeah. Maybe meditation does want to reveal itself. actually does want to reveal itself. Maybe there is something we're blocking, we're getting in the way of in certain ways. Yeah. Normally, I feel like I go on retreat, I have quite a self-centered attitude towards, you know, going beyond my self-concerns. It's like, I'm wanting something out of this. I'm driving myself towards something. And that relaxation of ideas is quite interesting for me. And so, you know, we could say that there are many other things and factors that were going on there. Maybe it's that I wasn't desiring experiences, or I had no expectations, and all of these can have an effect. But they're also, in a certain sense, kind of co-arising factors of relaxation. Something interesting there in terms of what actually supports mindfulness. What actually supports mindfulness? So I want to go into that, but just before, just to say, I'm not saying this is the way to live your life. It's more a question of, like, do we have that gear? Are we able to do that? You know, how good are you at letting go of the, you know, illusion of control and relaxing into life? Among the other things you're also really good at. Yeah, it's just something. Are we good at that? Are we practicing to get better at that? So I'm not saying we all just need to do much less. You know, you're all just trying too hard. That's why you're not getting it. You know, there's this saying, you know, be like a dead fish and go with the flow. Yeah, it's only the dead fish that go with the flow. Yeah. No, I want you also to be a creative fish. You go up with the flow, and sometimes you just cruise down. Yeah, play dead maybe. And for sure, we do need to stick at it through it all. Yeah, there was quite a determined relaxation, as I remember back on that retreat. It took some effort at times not to do something. Yeah. It kind of reminds me of the kind of the jazz ideal of knowing when to lay back. You know, the great jazz musicians, they know when to stay quiet, you know, not when not to blow your horn. Yeah. Also when to play fast and free, yeah, when it needs something, a kicking up, you know. When to play a little bit ahead of the beat, when to really get things pulsing. So in a certain sense, yeah. And then when to be late, and when not to play anything at all. So sometimes we hear about something like this and we immediately think, oh, you know, someone's saying this is the way you have to do everything. So just to really clarify, no, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that relaxation is the culmination of the Eightfold Path. I'm not saying any of that, yeah. I'm just saying that, can we have the sensitivity to tune in and see, what does this moment need? Does it need opening out, relaxing? Does it need guiding in, playing with in a really skillful way? Now, I don't know, do people know Insight Dialogue? You heard of Insight Dialogue? It's Gregory Kramer, really great teacher. He has a new book out now called Whole Life Path, which is kind of another really interesting thing when we think about the idea of how we can practice in more and more of our life, yeah, how we can bring meditation into action, into all activities. But many, many years ago, I don't know, 20 or more years ago, he developed this practice, Insight Dialogue, so that we could meditate in conversation. So what I really love about Gregory Kramer is that he's very inventive, very alive, really interesting person to listen to, and I would really recommend his books. And one of his main insights that he shares with us is that all the teachings are practices. All the teachings of the Buddha are actually practices, right? None of it is theory. You know, none of it is just theory for theory's sake. It's all like, you know, this is something you can do. Yet, of course, it needs a little bit of translation to turn those, you know, really insightful teachings into actions, into outcomes, we could say, yeah. And so he developed this Insight Dialogue with what they call a series of handles, which you could say reminders, simple reminders that we can bring into practice. And I really recommend them all. But for today, just to kind of stay in a relaxed mode, we won't try and do them all. You know, we won't try and eat all of the Insight Dialogue in one go. And the first ones are, interestingly, pause, you know, which is pause, and notice what you notice. You can do that now, right? what you notice about the insight dialogue practice is you can do it anywhere. You can do it with anything, right? You can do it in the middle of a talk. You can do it in the middle of a sentence. You can do it, you know, when you're getting bitten by a dog. You say, oh, pause. Notice what you notice. And then the second one is relax. Yeah? So pause. Notice what you notice. Become mindful. Become present. What's here? And relax. Right? Because what can otherwise happen is like, notice, got to do something about that. So first, relax. Yeah, you've got to do something about it. You can do something about it, but first, relax. And so the question is, what supports mindfulness? What supports the pause? It's actually the relax. The relax supports the pause. Okay? And so it's relax, relax what you can. Relax what you can in the body. And whatever remains, allow it to be there. Allow it to be there. And you'll see that, so we start with this kind of bodily fabrication, yeah, we relax in the body, but we also need this kind of attitudinal quality for the mind. We allow, right? Otherwise it's, I can't get that bit to relax. Ah, damn, yeah, that's what I'm present with, the unrelaxable body. I have that kind of body. And so we allow it to remain here. Yeah, so it's metta, it's kindness. So we relax the tension in the mind, yeah, as well, right? Not to add extra tension in the mind, and that also then perhaps relaxes a little bit more in the body. And you notice how the body and mind, they have this kind of conversation going on. When you relax the attitude towards the body, maybe the body actually relaxes just another layer. But we're not doing it as a strategy to trick the body into further relaxation. Yeah? The body can be here the way it is. Yeah. And that really, really supports us to be present if we allow that through. Now, when we are in any moment at all, right, there's something appearing and we just notice it. And then we relax the space around it. And as we were doing in that meditation earlier, when we open the space around the object, you may notice that sometimes more of our attention can go into that relaxation, and the object also just disappears. Didn't have a need for something too much. Yeah. Sometimes it remains, but it's held now in this more loving space, this more relaxed, this less demanding space. And what we'll see is in the heart of the Buddha's teachings, yeah, that we're bringing into, they're not an abstract theory, they're a practice. Dukkha and the ending of dukkha. Dukkha and the ending of dukkha, this whole broad idea there. It's so simple, just to recall, this moment has a karma, right? It has a direction, it has an activity to it, right? It's kind of seed of this moment, has a fuel. And the fuel is fed by our relationship to it. It's the way that we're relating to it. So whatever's appearing in the heart and mind now, it has a kind of relationship to it. And so the Buddha was saying it's either dukkha, you know, heading towards dukkha, difficulty, stress, agitation, dissatisfaction, yeah, or it's sukha, to ease, to pleasure, to release, to openness, to relaxation. Yeah, it's either imprisoning, directionality to it, or it's freeing. In a certain sense, we might want to say there's no stasis, there's no balance, there's no neutrality. Everything is creative, right? And meditation is not this kind of ideal of non-addition. Right? It's actually a cultivation. And so the question is, as we practice, as we enact our meditation, what direction is it going? Is it heading towards dukkha? Is it heading towards sukha? Yeah. And so relaxation is an action. It's an action that shapes experience. It shapes how experience unfolds. Yeah. So if we notice in this moment there's tension and I relax bodily fabrication, I relax that tension, also kind of relaxes that demand, that push on experience, it changes the experience. Yeah. Now surely any experience, any phenomena, any object should be the way it is from its own side, without depending on, you know, say like the location of my shoulders. If I relax my shoulders, the object shouldn't change. But if you see in your experience, you know, this phenomena, this experience, it's affected by how my body is. If I let out my belly as I'm in that experience, the experience starts to change. Has anyone noticed that? Anyone notice that that can happen? Yeah. So it can't stay the same because it's empty. It's dependently arising upon the condition of the body. And the body is dependently arising in condition on the mind. Yeah, has this interrelational play. Release the body affects, you know, the mental atmosphere that we meet things with. And this is really what's at the heart of the Four Noble Truths. Yeah. Now, I'm not saying relaxing is the solution, you know, to the riddle of you know, seeing that tanha co-arises with dukkha. You know, tanha is kind of demanding on life to be different. Some people, that's kind of the word, the thirst, thirsting after. Yeah. But if we see that the Eightfold Path is this kind of pathway of the teachings, this whole culmination of these teachings which are practices of not thirsting after life in habitual ways. Yeah? Maybe it's something of an aspect, some releasing of something, some relaxing of something. Good to say it's the relaxing of the demand. Now what happens to phenomena when we relax the demand? Because normally we thirst after experiences, yeah, and that causes this shrinking in the awareness, shrinking in the body sense, shrinking in the possibilities of the mind. Yeah, and this thirst becomes fuel for the stress. Yeah, this is the dependent origination teachings, you know. The thirsting, this tanha, develops into this fuel, sometimes called attachment, clinging, craving, all of these things. Yeah? It becomes dukkha, stress, difficulty, dis-ease. Yeah, when this or that phenomena arises with its vedana, pleasant, unpleasant, neither pleasant nor unpleasant. Yeah? It's that pushing and pull, another way of describing it. Yeah, things get categorized, pleasant, pull it towards me, hold it in attention, stay present with it, hold on to it even when it's falling away. It's unpleasant, push it away, get rid of it, strategize, find out whose fault it was. Yeah. All of that, that thirsting becomes a fuel, the seed is full of fuel for stress. Yeah. So when we release that, relax that, in some way we start to support the peace and the pleasantness, the enjoyment. So we could say, you know, firstly to soften the bodily fabrication. Whatever is appearing in attention now, softening the bodily fabrication. You see how you're holding it slightly differently. Now, don't hold back the space of awareness from expanding. Yeah, that idea, like when we let go of the balloon, and just let it float away. We let that space of awareness float away. See how we were tightening onto the object, now we're releasing. Also relaxing the demand for it to do anything for us. Even relaxing the demand for it to have to remain. There's kind of this feeling of like letting go into something. And so, you know, the point being, it's going to be helpful at times to have that as one of the gears that we can tune into. Yeah. Doesn't have to be, you know, everything's always the culmination of the path, but sometimes that's going to be really, really helpful. Just seeing, is that one of the things we have as our possibilities? Ways to soften, ways to open, ways to release, relax.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.